Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line. It is hour number three, our third and final, all across the Spiz Grizz Network. He is Donnie right side. I am Ben Stevens. There is so much to get into here in our third and final hour. Week six of the NFL season kicks off tonight in Seattle, an NFC West divisional duel and a big one between the Seahawks and the 49ers. San Francisco, a dismal 2-3 start, sub 500, looking to get back at top the division. A win over the Seahawks tonight would do just that for San Fran. Seattle, after a 3-0 start, has lost two in a row. But it's not just Thursday night football. It's Thursday night baseball in October. First in Detroit, the Tigers a win away from a berth in the American League Championship Series. Same story in Kansas City. The Yankees and Gerrit Cole, a road money line favorite, looking to clinch a spot in the LCS. Based on the path, based on the season, based on the expectation, it must happen tonight for the Pinstripes.
Yeah, wake me up on opening day next year. Baseball season ended last night. We all know this year. We're just trying to get through the final couple stages of October, November, December. Yeah. We got football to carry us all the way, but it should be a good finish. I'm looking forward to game number five also coming up tomorrow between that Dodgers and Padres series. That crowd is going to be electric at Chavez Ravine. There's going to be anger out there. I just hope we have drama, because there's one thing about getting to like these game fives, Ben, but we need drama in game five. Like, we need a 1-1 game in the eighth inning. Like, we need to see this actually play out. That's what I'm looking forward to. So if we can force even more game fives in the American League, that's always good for the soul here. Extra opportunities to bet, but also see some of these teams living on the edge. I love to see that.
Yeah, DRS, listen, we only had one winner-take-all game three in the wild card round. In fact, it was our first in the wild card round since the postseason expanded in Major League Baseball back in 2022. And what happened? Come from behind, go ahead, three-run home run from Pete Alonso and the New York Mets in Milwaukee. Tomorrow night at the Ravine in L.A., that is going to be something. But we start, of course, in this third hour with the start of the NFL in week number six. Thursday night football in Seattle, the Seahawks and the 49ers. San Francisco, 3.5-point road favorite. Total is up there for a short week Thursday night football game at 49.5. What is the best bet? That was the question to all of you in Fade the Public. All right, at last check, by my last recorded tally, we did ask the public best bet Monday Night Football, KC and New Orleans inside Arrowhead, Saints 5.5-point dog, public loved it. Who could fault them? 5.5-point underdogs, really good this year. Not on Monday night. The public DRS in these FTP polls for a best bet, now 3-5. Speaking of the numbers 3-5, 3.5-point spread in favor of the 49ers on the road tonight. It's where the public is looking. 36% of the vote on the Fade the Public poll at Sports Grid on Twitter, backing San Francisco, laying a field goal and a hook. The Seahawks, though, at plus 3.5, second most votes, under 49.5, has that third most selected option. Not a lot of people thinking points. Short week Thursday night divisional duel in this start of week six. The RS of the public get it right. Is it San Francisco minus the points?
I think the public did get it right. Are we in love with that hook there? No, we're not, because it means the 49ers probably have to win this game by a touchdown. Can they? Absolutely. Is it hard to do against a divisional opponent on short rest on the road when you're not playing great football? Maybe so. Both of these offenses should be able to get after it, but I am very surprised here, because it's usually an automatic every time we bring up these polls where if you include the total, typically the over, no matter what the price or where it sits, always has the advantage over the under. But now we see a decided advantage from the under backers at 24% backing the under and only 13% backing the over 49.5, because I think sometimes we just get beat down on these primetime games where these teams are coming in beat up and battered and just looking to survive as opposed to absolutely eviscerate their opponent on both sides. So I do think that's a bit of a surprise, because the public typically likes the overs. And also, we are deemed to believe that the 49ers are a better team from the Seahawks. They just haven't showed it. Last week, you can't even say, I can't believe that the Seahawks lost to the Giants at home. Well, then I tell you that the 49ers lost to the Cardinals at home. So it almost like erases like that. Oh, how bad the Seahawks have been. But I do think that there is something to who you actually have been playing. Pedigree for the 49ers coming into the season, thought they would win the division. Seahawks, I thought they would be competitive, and they will be. But they haven't shown me anything. When you're stepping up in competition, like, let me show the world what we can do against Detroit and see if we can stop that offense, they couldn't do anything there. What they've been shown to is stop really bad offenses and pick up victories. The San Francisco 49ers, an elite offense, something they haven't shown to slow down here. So it is interesting to see the public saying, whoa, 50 points is a lot on a Thursday. And as we said already, under 10 mile an hour winds, 60s in the temperatures, no rain in the forecast in Seattle. We should get a pretty clean performance, which is crazy that the under is being backed so heavily here.
Yeah, I completely agree, DRS. And I think it's only from the perspective of a short week Thursday night football game. The Niners defense hasn't been great, giving up more than 21 points per game. They were the best defense in the league 2 years ago, less than 17 points per game, third best a season ago. They've had some key injuries. Seattle's defense has not looked great. And the Seahawks have a ton of injuries on this short week. Seattle has allowed 29 points or more in its two consecutive losses. 42 to Detroit in the Motor City. All right, on the road, Detroit, good offense. 29, although one was on a blocked field goal. So really 23 to the New York Giants without Malik Nabers and Devin Singletary a week ago. I'm leaning points, at least San Francisco points, and I do believe the Niners. If you want to be considered a Super Bowl front runner, the NFC title favorites, this is a game you win and win comfortably. The Niners have been booked as a favorite in every game this year. They're both 2-3 straight up and against the spread. They have covered comfortably in their two wins this season, but only two wins, and that is the issue. Seattle, meanwhile, 1-3-1 against the spread, did not cover in its only game as a dog in Detroit two Monday nights ago. And Donnie, I think my best bet for this game is something our producer extraordinaire, Joe Friso, pointed out to both of us. San Francisco is greater than a $2 favorite to win the NFC West this season. A lot of odds, optimism, and expectation for the 49ers entering 2024. The Niners have won the NFC West divisional crown each of the past 2 years. After a dismal 2-3 start, the Niners are still a minus money favorite, but it's only minus 115. Now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. San Francisco wins this game tonight, and they should. They're back in first, even with an even 500 record at 3-3 in the NFC West, because the Seahawks are the only team with a winning record in the division as of this moment. So maybe it's not worth laying 3.5. I probably still will. I'm going to go bet San Francisco at the commercial break at minus 115 to win the NFC West.
It does make some sense. It almost feels like they're baiting into that, right? Because that's the way it's supposed to happen. You're supposed to get a 49ers win tonight. They are favored, which means they'll be back in first place. The Arizona Cardinals, yeah, they're a tough team and they'll fight you, and they already beat the 49ers, but the expectations aren't high. And the Rams might be out of it by the time they get the reserves back here at the wide receiver position, actually challenge for that division. So we're thinking about how good the San Francisco 49ers actually are, because if you wait tonight and say, all right, I don't know if the 49ers are going to win, and let's just say they lose, certainly that number is going to go higher. But if the 49ers win tonight, that number you probably won't see again for the rest of the season, right, unless you have devastating injuries on the San Francisco 49ers. So it does make some sense. I'm interested to see what we get out of Seattle tonight, because this is one of those opportunities where they can actually take a strangle on this division, improve to 4-2, and make the Niners drop to 2-4, which includes the 49ers already beating, the Seattle Seahawks already beating the 49ers. So a lot is at stake tonight,
right,
and there's a lot of weapons on that football field. Could it be controlled by the running game? Is it controlled by the two quarterbacks? Do we see better red zone passing out of Brock Purdy tonight? Do we see Geno Smith, you know, shake off that game last week and actually hit some deep shots to DK Metcalf? There's a lot to go over and a lot to be at stake and a lot of fun. With a 49.5, we should get some fun tonight.
And we will do that. Prop perspective to start our final half hour and best bet with Tom Vecchio. But now it's October baseball with Craig Mish next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line. It's a Thursday in October. It's a doubleheader of ALDS matchups with spots in the league championship series on the line. First in Detroit, then in Kansas City. The home team, the Tigers, have a chance to clinch a berth in the ALCS first. Then the road team, the Yankees, with their ace on the bump. A really good chance, according to the odds makers, to clinch a spot in the ALCS tonight. To help us get ready for all of that and look back on a quadruple header of action from a Wednesday, it's our MLB insider and the host of Newswire, starting at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. That is Craig Mish. Craig, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being here on the early line.
Of course. Good morning, guys. Very fortunate here in South Florida. We avoided a lot of the things that you saw with Hurricane Milton, but no question, a place that I used to live in Sarasota and the west coast of Florida. My thoughts are with everybody there today. I know that there's a lot of damage, a lot of closures, and, you know, certainly hopefully they can clean everything that happened up on the west coast of Florida soon.
Yeah, we certainly send all of our thoughts to that area as well. We all saw from a baseball perspective what happened to the Trop last night. The roof completely ripped off. We hope everybody is safe in the aftermath of Hurricane Milton. That continues this week. All right, Craig, let's get to what we saw yesterday in Major League Baseball. It is time to touch them all. It's the Daily Bases. The first spot claimed of four in a league championship series. Who else but the New York Mets back into the NLCS for the first time in nearly a decade since 2015. A grand salami off the bat of Francisco Lindor in the home half of the sixth. It was the difference. It was a playoff memory forever for the Amazons last night. 4-1 win in game four against Philadelphia. Craig, a lot has been made about this New York Mets team off to a dismal start, 24-33 at the end of May. But since the start of June, no better team in the bigs. What did the New York Mets figure out early in the summer to be the first team into the league championship series this season?
They figured out how to hit in the biggest spots of the game. I don't know. That, to me, is about it. They've gotten some better pitching for sure. Manaea has done a great job for them and now is going to be a major factor in the National League Championship Series, whoever they face off with, whether it's L.A. or San Diego. But it's just been timely hitting, Ben. I mean, look, they're down to their last out. Pete Alonso hits a home run. You know, they're down and Lindor hits a home run. They're down with Vientos hits a home run. I'm not saying they're lucky by any stretch, but they've just had some really big hits in the last month or so of the season, and that's really what's gotten them there. And on the Philadelphia side, I really don't know what to say. They had a great regular season. For those of people who watched at the beginning of the year, I picked them to go to the World Series, so I'm just as stunned as everybody else. They're making a lot of their bullpen today. Let's be honest. You score one run, you do not deserve to win. And that's what happened to the Phillies yesterday.
Exactly. Phillies, not a great plate appearance. You get those clutch hits from the New York Mets. That equates to victories. And also, how about this one, Craig? 8-0 last night. The Dodgers, you might have thought Clayton Kershaw back 5 years ago was on the mound saying, yeah, the Dodgers needed him to stave off elimination. Not the, the bullpen. The bullpen was fantastic. And that rowdy crowd out there at Petco, the Padres, no runs. It heads back to Los Angeles. What happened last night and why were the Dodgers able to step up with that easy victory?
Yeah, look, you know, they set the tone early with Mookie Betts and just kept the ball rolling there, so to speak. And they really did a nice job piecing together all of those pitchers that they used in the game yesterday. And so, Donnie, the thing is, you know, look, the Padres were minus 150 in that game. People forget that yesterday. It was probably one of the biggest upsets of the postseason in one individual game. And now they head back to L.A., and certainly they're going to have, I would think, a much better pitching situation in Game 5 where they're favorites here of minus 140 or above. And I think this line will probably climb a little bit. Very close game to call. I can't wait to see this one because I know what the emotions are going to be in that stadium in Chavez Ravine.
Oh, it is going to be an intense atmosphere, to say the least. A winner-take-all fifth game in the NLDS between the Southern California rivals. Craig, quick follow-up for me before we go over to the AL. Who are your sources telling you might start Game 5 for the Dodgers? Might it be Yoshinobu Yamamoto?
I mean, Yamamoto's going to pitch in the game. I mean, they're going to have to pitch him. I don't know, Ben, if it'll be in the first inning, the third inning, the fifth inning, or something, but they didn't get this far to not go all in on this final game of the season. And believe me, there is a ton of pressure on this organization to get by. Look, in the end, guys, let's be real. If they lose in the National League Championship Series and get past this, it's still a deflating season for them. But it's a disastrous season if they can't win a Game 5 at home against their division rival. I would expect all hands on deck for this game, and then they'll just worry about the Mets when they worry about the Mets.
It would be a devastating loss, Craig, to the Padres, who would bounce the Dodgers in the NLDS for a second time in the last 3 years. Three consecutive exits in the division series for the Dodgers. If they lose tomorrow night, they are the home favorites, of course. Speaking of pitching advantages, this is what you want if you're the Yankees. Gerrit Cole on the bump as a greater than $1.50 favorite, albeit on the road, to earn a spot in the American League Championship Series. Will the Pinstripes punch their ticket with Cole on the mound tonight?
They may, but there's no way I'm laying this kind of juice with the Yankees in any game right now in the postseason. I think this is going to be a really close game right down to the wire. I mean, you tell me that this game can't be 2-2 in the seventh inning and Cole comes out of the game, and then who knows what the bleep happens at that point. So I'll ride the under here at 7.5. I think that, again, you'll see a lot of pitching changes, a lot of matchup-based issues, I think, going on. And look, the Yankees have barely outplayed the Royals in the series, by one run. I think this is going right down to the end. Anybody's ball game here, I think, tonight. But, you know, obviously the pressure is going to be all on the Yankees the next two games. If they don't win this one tonight and have to go back to Yankee Stadium, tough scene.
First up in the Motor City, though, the Tigers, the first chance to earn a spot in the ALCS. However, the Guardians and Tanner Bibee, a road favorite tonight in the Motor City. Craig, will we see Game 5 back in the land, or is Detroit onto the ALCS?
I think Cleveland wins today. I do think we see a Game 5, yes, I do. I think so. These series have been close. At some point, Cleveland's going to hit. I think it probably is today. And then it's Scooble Game 5. Should be fun.
And then it's Scooble Game 5 in Cleveland, where the Tigers were a road favorite earlier this week. Craig Mish, we appreciate it. Thank you for your time. More Around Baseball next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It all comes down to this, a doubleheader of American League playoff action today in October. Two spots at stake in the American League Championship Series. First in Detroit, can the Tigers hold down the Guardians' offense with pitching chaos once again to earn that spot in the ALCS? It's not exactly pitching chaos in the second game of two tonight in Kansas City. It's trusting in your ace, Gerrit Cole and the Yankees, a greater than $1.50 favorite in Kansas City against the Royals to earn a spot once again in the American League Championship Series. Minus 154 DRS, the updated money line price in favor of New York, albeit on the road, inside Kauffman, 7.5 is the total. Is it correct? Is the natural thought the ace Gerrit Cole is there? It's too much for KC to handle, and the Yankees are going to be in the American League Championship Series when the night is through.
This is why you have Gerrit Cole. This is why you pay him a lot of money. You expect him to win in these type of atmospheres on the road, closeout series to move on to the league championship series. You take a look at his last 30 days, 96 batters he's faced. He's been pristine. A walk percentage around 6%, which is great. How about the ISO, 0.47 against? How about the weighted on base percentage, 2.31 against? That's fantastic. Let's expand it out now to 60 days and take a look at some analytical numbers. Gerrit Cole has had 54 and a third innings pitched here, an ERA 2.15, an xFIP of 3.73. That's been fantastic. But as I say that, you take a look at Michael Wacha. He's been pretty good, Ben, over his last 52 and two-thirds innings over the past 60 days. His ERA, 2.91. His xFIP number, 3.86. You see that 7.5. I like the under yesterday, and it stayed. I think the under is a play to get today. If I had to pick the side, which I do like the New York Yankees with Cole in the mound, I just think they have a little bit more firepower than Kansas City. Right. I would lay that -156 price, but more importantly, you take that light juice at the 7.5, -110. You bet that under. I don't think we get 8 runs in a closeout situation. Hands on deck for Kansas City. I think we get a good pitching performance on both sides. This game stays under the total, and the Yanks head into the American League Championship Series.
And frankly, KC's bullpen has been sensational throughout this postseason. In a series without a ton of offense against the Orioles, it was the bullpen delivering. We saw that for KC in Game 2 in their only win in this series in the Bronx. Gerrit Cole did start Game 1, got roughed up a little bit, allowed 3 earned runs. Of course, the Yankees did come back to win that game. MJ Melendez took him deep. But as Donnie said, That was a 10-day rest period for Cole. This is why you have Gerrit Cole. These are the spots. With great expectation comes great responsibility. And when your path is seen to be favorable, you must capitalize. That's what the Yankees have tonight to earn a bid once again to the American League Championship Series. Quickly, DRS, before we get to Detroit, Aaron Judge, 1-for-11 so far in this postseason. In the most recent postseason for the Yankees, he was 5-of-36. He has not been great at the dish. He's -250 to record a base knock tonight. Is that even worth laying the juice?
I mean, they're pitching to him now, right? They're probably not even avoiding him like you probably would think because he's been so bad in the playoffs as of late. It's like, all right, we'll challenge this guy and he'll still be able to get himself out. I'm not one of those guys. Look, tonight's Aaron Judge's night. You got to be in good form for me to bet you. Like, I'm not the type of guy that goes, well, his ISO's at 0.25 and his weighted on base percentage at 1.89. Tonight's the night he breaks out. I'm staying away from all Aaron Judge wagers. I am.
Yeah, listen, I cannot fault you, DRS, in that expectation. All right, now let's get to the Motor City. The Tigers, a slight home underdog against Tanner Bibee and the Guardians. Can pitching chaos for the Tigers continue in this set and in this postseason to earn a spot in the American League Championship Series? Or with Bibee on the bump, are the Guardians the correctly favored side?
Yeah, let's focus on the Detroit Tigers and who they're throwing out tonight. It's Reese Olson. You take a look at his last 60 batters that he's faced over the past month, and great numbers. 111 ISO, 277 weighted on base percentage. But let's break it down a little bit further, Ben. On the season, 266 batters he's faced as a right-handed pitcher against left-handed batters. A 121 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 310. In his last 30 days, he's faced 38 batters that were left-handers, a 0 ISO, and a weighted on base percentage of 256. You say, why is that important, Donnie? Why are you breaking down the left-hand side? Well, tonight, anticipation for lineup, Lane Thomas, right-handed batter, that is it. Everybody else will be left-handed batters for the Cleveland Guardians. So you're going to take a look at Reese Olson has been phenomenal against lefties. That might be an advantage. So instead of me actually taking a side or a total, I'm actually looking more at hit props and RBI props from a Detroit Tigers perspective. Tanner Bibee has struggled with left-handed batters. The first two batters in the lineup today, Meadows and Carpenter, 222 ISO, 345 ISO, back-to-back here. One of those two guys will get an RBI tonight. That's the way I'm betting this one, Ben.
We'll have a few more thoughts on October in the Prop Perspective segment with Tom Vecchio up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
On a night like tonight, This is why you need the jack of all trades. We got the prop perspective for Thursday night football and the start of week number 6 in the NFL. We've got a doubleheader of October baseball playoff action with 2 spots in the American League Championship Series on the line tonight. And it's the opening week of a new season on the ice in the NHL. That jack of all trades is the man with the prop perspective at Sports Grid's Tom Vecchio. Tom, as always, thank you for your time.
Of course. Thanks for having me. This is a great time to be a sports fan, as I will always say. We have a ton to get to tonight. I got to say, when it comes to the football game tonight, I love the under, and I love a lot of unders tonight. So that may not be the most exciting thing, but let's roll into it.
Short week Thursday night football game, our 5th of this season. First 3 dead unders. Last week, a scoring bonanza in Atlanta into overtime between the Falcons and the Buccaneers. So, Vecchio, we always use the numbers, the spread, the money line, and that total to inform how we see the game playing out. 3.5-point spread in favor of the road team, the 49ers in Seattle. Total is up there for a short week Thursday night football game at 49.5. You like the under? You like a lot of unders. How come?
I think we need to take a step back from this game and look at what both of these teams have been through. The 49ers, through the past 3 weeks, we have these blown leads against what I'm going to say are inferior teams. They look like a mess on offense. They can't close things out on defense. Seattle, off to this flying, 3-0 start. Then they finally get tested, especially against the Lions. And then they get run all over last week when they're 7.5-point home favorites. We have a divisional game. Both of these teams are trying to right the ship. What does that mean? It is going to be a ground game. They want to eliminate the variance. And that means keeping things under control. This is a divisional game. We could be looking at Seattle blowing this 3-0 start and all of a sudden being 3-3. The 49ers, they're going to be sitting here being under 500 after this game. I think they want to eliminate all of these potential stakes and keep this game as simple as possible. 50 points for a divisional game on a short week, especially when the 49ers aren't healthy? Absolutely no. Give me the under.
Yeah, by the way, Tom, we usually ask the public poll, or fade the public poll here. We ask the public what their thoughts were. They actually like the under in a big number as well. So that's one of the interesting points to bring up. Most people typically just cheer for the overs, but the public saying under along with you tonight. Let's take a look at some of these quarterback props, such as Geno Smith and Brock Purdy. The thing I like about this is a lot of times we see 190s, 201s, 211s here. Both of these quarterbacks listed on the FanDuel Sportsbook, Tom, over 250.5. That's for Geno Smith and 253.5 for Brock Purdy. Touchdown passes, both of the quarterbacks at over 1.5. One is at minus 118, that's Brock Purdy. The other at plus 108 for Geno Smith. What are the quarterbacks doing for us tonight, Tom?
I think we actually could see a half-decent game from Geno, and it could be similar to that Monday night game against the Lions where they may be playing from behind, so he has to pass and just get the volume. Maybe a little bit of garbage time, if that's what you want to call it. You know, Purdy, I have a tough time with Purdy props outside of one of them tonight, which we can certainly get to, which would be under 20.5 completions. I think, again, this has to be a ground game from the 49ers, and he's been really good. He leads the league with 8.8 yards per attempt, so they're breaking off these chunk plays and then reel that in, right? Reel that in with the running game with Mason. So, listen, he's averaging 20.6 on the year. I don't see him flying over this number. If he's flying over this number, I think Seattle's live on the money line at that point.
So let's go to the running backs then, Vecchio. If we're not expecting a ton of points and we're looking to maybe fade the quarterbacks in terms of their overall offensive production tonight, Kenneth Walker III, a much lower prop than that of Jordan Mason. Kenneth Walker III's been good. San Francisco's defense up front, not nearly as stout as years past. Seattle's had a ton of issues defensively. How big of a role do both backs play tonight on Thursday Night Football?
I think it's going to be huge. I think they both go over their yards prop. I think they both go over their attempts prop. And again, we saw Tyrone Tracy run all over Seattle last week. Gibbs and Montgomery for Detroit 2 weeks ago both had solid games on the ground. This is the first two games that we've seen the Seattle defense tested. I think this is a clear Mason game. I don't care about the fumble and the most recent outing again. And they want to reel that in. If we look back to last week when Purdy was going up against the Cardinals, he had some really weird plays in the pocket where he couldn't find a player downfield. He's kind of scrambling. He's lost. He's spinning around. They need to eliminate that, right? They need to give the ball to Mason, keep things as consistent as possible. And then when it comes to Walker, again, we need to understand what Seattle is facing right now, going 0-3 over their past three games after this great 3-0 start. Like, they have a chance to compete for the division title with the Rams being so injured. The 49ers picking up this win against them would be massive. So this is a ground game time and time again on a short divisional week. Give me both overs.
Yeah, I do like the ground game as well in this game. But let's talk a look about the pass receivers here. The big dogs on each side. DK Metcalf, over 66.5 receiving yards. Brandon Ayuk of the 49ers, 64.5 receiving yards. Are we going top of the line here? Or there's some value plays down that list, Tom, that might get your attention in the receiving market?
I have interest in Metcalf. I think he needs a bit of a get-right game after a slow outing last week. I also have interest in both Ayuk and Deebo Samuel, and that solely comes down to whether or not George Kittle will be playing. We know he's listed as questionable for tonight. They elevated a tight end off the practice squad yesterday. So I think this game, again, mainly focuses on unders when it comes to the passing game. But if they're going to be passing it, and we do have an injury on the San Francisco side of things, I think we can look to Deebo. I have interest in Tyler Lockett unders. He's third on the team when it comes to reception target share at 16.9. Yeah. I think this needs to be a JSN and DK game. We're going to see Kenneth Walker coming out of the backfield. We're going to see Zach Charbonnet a little bit coming out of the backfield, maybe Noah Fant. Lockett's the guy that's going to hit the under tonight.
You know who actually has the most receptions, grabs on Seattle? It's not Lockett. It's not DK Metcalf. It's Jaxon Smith-Njigba. He leads Seattle with 29 catches so far this season. So there were Tom's top props for Thursday night football. Once again, let's flash it so everybody can see it. Jot them down before we get to the other two sports in action tonight. October baseball and the NHL after. Boom. There it is. Lock it in. Everybody, freeze frame. Bang. All right, now we are on to MLB playoff action. We start in Kansas City between the Yankees and the Royals. Tom, New York sends out the ace in Gerrit Cole to deliver a win and a trip to the American League Championship Series. Is it as simple as that tonight inside Kauffman Stadium?
I think it has to be, given the way this series has gone. We're seeing a handful of runs, and then, like you guys said in the previous segment, the bullpens are legit good, right? We have seen some really locked down pitching from both teams, a clear lack of offense. Judge is doing nothing. Bobby Witt is doing nothing in his first hit of the series last night. I think it's reasonable to take Gerrit Cole over 4.5 strikeouts. I think that's fine. Michael Wacha, you could, again, go with the under. It was pretty heavily juiced the last time I saw it. I think my favorite prop for this would be buying into a little bit of BVP, which I'm certainly not big on, batter versus pitcher. And that would be Tommy Pham to record 2+ total bases at plus 175. He has great success against Gerrit Cole, right? Again, BVP is a small sample size. There's a lot of variance to it. There's a lot of noise when it comes to baseball statistics. But it's a do-or-die game. Pham's been good this series, and he kind of has Cole's number.
How about this? Let's flip it over to Cleveland and Detroit. You see that favorite here for Cleveland on the road trying to stave off elimination and an ultra-low total of 6.5. Bybee versus Olsen. What are you thinking here, Tom?
This game has to be the under, right? I'd be interested in taking Cleveland and their team total. I would have to double check what it is. I assume it's 2.5 or 3.5 because they have not been scoring any runs. J-Ram has been extremely quiet at the plate. But again, their pitching has been legit good. They're giving up like 3 runs. If you're giving up 3 runs in a playoff game, you think your team should be live at any given time. So player props, I think, are extremely hit or miss. I know, Donnie, you spoke about them in the previous segment, but nailing down one player is a little bit much. I will side with a good pitcher on the Cleveland side of things.
And that is why the Guardians are a road favorite. More than likely, the Tigers would be a road favorite if a Game 5 is necessary and Tarek Skubal gets the start. Quickly here, Tom, let's finish with a couple of prop plays on the ice tonight, opening week of the NHL season. What do you like?
Let's go to Lucas Raymond for the Red Wings over 2.5 shots. They're going up against the Penguins, who got smoked last night against the Rangers. Penguins on a back-to-back to start the season. Raymond got an 8-year deal just less than a month ago. He's on the top forward line, top power play, in a great spot for him. And then Rasmus Dahlin, newly named captain of the Buffalo Sabres. This is their third game of the season since they were over in Prague. A couple injuries on the Kings side of things. He's a defenseman on the blue line for his power play. They need to get things going and pile up some shots. It would be him over 2.5 as well.
The jack of all trades always delivers. That's Tom Vecchio. You'll see him later tonight on Sports Grid as well. More from us for Thursday Night Football next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
An NFC West duel on a Thursday night to start week six of this NFL season. We continue our breakdown of Thursday night football live right here on the early line. 3.5 point spread in favor of the 49ers. 49.5 is the total tonight in this football game. You are correct, Joe Friso, our producer, yelling in my ear to talk about some news around the National Football League. Couldn't have done that in the commercial break. Had to make your ill-informed jokes. Oh, all right, so boy. Let's go to that news around the NFL. The New York Jets have made a change, DRS, in terms of who is going to be their offensive play caller. It is no longer Nathaniel Hackett. It is going to be Todd Downing. He's the new team play caller for the New York Jets starting Monday night in that crucial matchup against the Buffalo Bills. Interim head coach Jeff Ulbrich announcing that earlier this morning. What do you make of the decision and the shifting coaching staff in New York?
It makes no difference and also brings up, why is Nathaniel Hackett still employed by the New York Jets? Isn't that the question that we have here? It's clear that it's the offense's issue here. Now, the play calling isn't good, even though it was a handpicked play caller by Aaron Rodgers, who has the ability to line up on the line of scrimmage and change any play he wants. But apparently, it's the play caller that has to change for Aaron Rodgers. So the excuses keep firing in, but also gives you the ultimate out. You have a good game on Monday night. Hey, look, it was the head coach and the play caller. Now we're on our way to the Super Bowl, which obviously we don't think is going to be the case until they really turn it around and go a couple weeks with victories and looking solid on offense. But I just think it's fun. It's like rearranging the chairs here. Did we really think the play caller was the issue? No, the quarterback is the issue, people.
So there's been a lot of reports that maybe the Jets and Robert Saleh were going to fire Nathaniel Hackett, who is only the offensive coordinator because he is best buds with Aaron Rodgers. He does not deserve to be the offensive coordinator in New York based on his performance either there or with the Denver Broncos. But with all that being said, that report was kind of disputed. Maybe there was some truth to it. Either way, DRS, I think one of the reasons that Hackett wasn't named the interim head coach is because then the onus is on Aaron Rodgers. You can legitimately point to his best buddy calling the players and be like, hey, they don't got it. It's because of Hackett. So this is a little bit intriguing to me. Again, as I think that Aaron Rodgers is the puppet master, despite him resenting that very idea coming out of my mouth, is he now trying to push his guy to the side so that if things don't work out offensively, it's on Todd Downing, another scapegoat? I don't know. Maybe I'm being a conspiracy theorist that I blame Aaron Rodgers for being, but that's just how I'm seeing it.
No, but just go back to last year. Late in the season, Jets are out of the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers wanted to throw a couple slant passes in practice and literally took food off a man's table and then tried to play it out like he would never do that. And that was ridiculous. It wasn't up to him. Yes, it was. He always told you he was coming back. If it wasn't to the game, it was to practice. So we've been seeing this before. Let's see how this plays out on Monday Night Football, because it is going to be awesome. Yeah. Either way, Jets win, big story. Jets lose, big story. Can't lose.
Todd Downing, by the way, former offensive coordinator with the Tennessee Titans under Mike Vrabel, also made headlines for getting arrested in Nashville for public intoxication after they had a win, if I remember that story correctly. And hopefully I'm not going to be sued for libel. Anyway, back to Thursday night football, but allegedly,
my coverage,
we'll just say that here. Yeah, thank you. Yep. Thank you, DRS. I appreciate it. And listen, you've been winning cases in litigation all Thursday morning long. So let's get to Thursday night football in Seattle between the 49ers and the Seahawks. 3.5 point spread in favor of San Francisco. 49.5 is the total. DRS, we have broken down this game. You heard Tom Vecchio's thoughts. When all is said and done, how are you playing Thursday night to start off week six?
I think San Francisco is the better team. So if you're going to start there and take out the bias that I typically have for the home team on Thursday Night Football, I think the San Francisco 49ers win. Also, Tom was right on that total. It's 49.5. We'll be around that number. The question is going to be way over that total, stay under it. Are there going to be bad turnovers, missed field goals? You get the point here. And also, it is a divisional game. That's a lot of points, 50. I do think both of these teams will be in the 20s, but the fact of the matter is, can one of these teams get into the 30s or needs to get into the 30s? But from a prop perspective here, I do think Brock Purdy is going to have a very good football game. If George Kittle does play, anticipating that he will, that means you have the ultimate weapons ready to go and a ground game that should be able to take advantage of Seattle's defense. On the flip side, we are supposed to get a pretty good ground game here from Kenneth Walker III and Zach Charbonnet. Also, keep in mind, the reception game for those two running backs, Ben, Zach Charbonnet today, 13.5 is his receiving prop. Take a look at the first five games, 29, 31, 16, 39, and 19. He's crossed over that number each and every game. Yeah. And if you think they're going to be losing and more pass-catching ability, they can do that. And also, Kenneth Walker has had two games with 36 and 57 yards receiving. So maybe the backs out of the backfield and also getting the ground game going here for Seattle will be a big deal. Anytime touchdown market for me as we whip through these, Jordan Mason, it's expensive. I think he gets in. Deebo Samuel, I think, is a legitimate one. And also, yes, Tom Bourdain. DK Metcalf, I think he hits off a big play, which ends up in a touchdown. I think that makes some sense as well. We got some good options tonight. We really do.
We really do, DRS. And again, Tom doesn't like the over. I'm not advocating for 50-plus points in a short-week divisional duel Thursday night football game. But we should be seeing offenses on display. Neither defense has been very good, especially by 49ers standards. Both defenses, either week-to-week or season-long to this point, dealing with some pretty significant injuries. San Francisco over in each of its two wins. Seattle over in four of five games this season. By the way, Jordan Mason, 82.5, has been over that number in four of five games with 88 rushing yards in all four of those overs. That's a Christian McCaffrey touchdown number, though. He's only scored in three of five games this year with just three rushing scores. DRS, I do really like Jackson Smith and Jigba. Five-plus receptions tonight, over four. 4.5 receptions is minus 146. He's actually the leading receiver when it comes to catches so far this year for the Seahawks. I'll make it pretty simple, though, before I turn it back to you. I'm just going to lay 3.5 with the 49ers tonight and feel confident in doing so. And if I lose, I lose. So be it. But I'll lay 3.5 with the Niners.
Yeah, most of my notes here this morning did start, typically it's with the quarterback and the wide receivers, but it did start with the running backs here. The ability to rush on both of these games, I think, is going to be huge. And also, usually when you say, well, the running backs are going to eat up a lot of the clock, that means that play action path is going to be available where you can shoot that football downfield. So I do look for some good touchdown markets. Mason and Samuel, I don't think you can lose with both of those guys tonight for the 49ers, money pay dirt.
Donnie Wrightside, enjoy the money line. Have a great time at the wedding on Saturday. We'll talk soon. More on the early line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line to round out our show on this Thursday. It is a monumental Thursday in the sports landscape. The start of a new week in the National Football League. San Francisco laying 3.5 on the road tonight in Seattle. The 49ers and the Seahawks. A pregame total for a short week divisional duel Thursday night football game at 49.5. I expect points. I don't like that it's a short week Thursday night game. We've got two Major League Baseball games in the postseason on this Thursday in Detroit and in Kansas City, where the Tigers are a home underdog, but the team that can clinch a spot in the ALCS, and the Yankees are a road favorite, and the team that can clinch a spot in the American League Championship Series. Might be too little too late for KC against Gerrit Cole, the ace for the Yankees. But really, Aaron Judge has to start doing something at the dish for the Pinstripes. I'm starting to talk myself into the gritty Tigers. Reese Olson, by the way, this year, 4-8 with an ERA just barely above 3.5. The Tigers never gave him run support. He did pitch in the opening game against the Guardians, did allow one earned run, but was not a part of the opening inning, where Cleveland scored five runs in the home half of the first before a single out was registered. They've only scored two runs since, coming in the sixth inning of game one. They have been blanked by the Tigers. First, Tarek Skubal, and then six guys yesterday in the Motor City. Again, the Tigers a home underdog against Tanner Bibee, who gets the start for the Guardians. We shared there's NHL action. There's all that good stuff. There's also a triple header of Thursday night football. About some Sun Belt Fun Belt on this Thursday in week number 7. a matchup between 2-4 and 1 football teams. First up, James Madison in Coastal Carolina. The Dukes, a 9.5-point home favorite. Coastal Carolina this year, 1-1 against the spread as an underdog. Under head coach Tim Beck since the beginning of last season, 7-3 ATS as a dog. JMU, man, after a great start to this year, unbeaten 4-0, lost to UL Monroe as an 11-point favorite. That can't happen against General Booty and the Warhawks, but it did. Feels like a little bit large of a spread for this Thursday night game. I'll pass on that one. I'll probably pass on Louisiana Tech hosting Middle Tennessee State as well. That game, a 4.5-point spread. Now, the Hilltoppers of Western Kentucky. This is an interesting one. Against a UTEP team that ain't very good this year. UTEP, so far this season, 0-5. 1-4 against the spread. The only cover, losing by 18, but as a 24.5-point underdog against unbeaten Liberty. Now, Western Kentucky, outside of playing power competition, is 3-0, and they've covered in their last four games. They've made a change at quarterback. It is no longer TJ Finley. Western Kentucky, under Tyson Helton, starting to light it up. I know 19.5 is a big spread. I would probably lean laying that number in favor of the Hilltoppers with some great helmets tonight against UTEP. Again, a team that has struggled. The issue, though, is despite UTEP being 0-5 and just 1-4, they run the football. They eat a lot of clock, so just keep an eye on that. It's a big spread to cover. It is 3 scores. You're going to need to win by basically 3 touchdowns to cover that spread. It allows us a time. Maybe you saw a tweet last week from somebody who hosts this show about 55 consecutive days of football starting last Thursday. One of the reasons for that is because of Group of Five action and teams in Conference USA carrying the flag to play on Tuesdays and Wednesdays before we even get to November when Maction gets into the fold. So let's talk some Group of Five conference favorites right now and their odds to make the college football playoff. Tulane off to a great start this year, one of 17 teams with a point differential around the country at plus 100 or better, one of five Group of Five programs that can say that. They're the favorites in the American, but keep an eye on Army and Navy. Liberty, 5-0, one of 12 teams at 5-0 entering the rest of Week 7. They're an odds-on favorite to win CUSA. They've won 17 consecutive regular season games. Toledo, the favorite in the MAC, and in the Sun Belt, it's still Texas State and G.J. Kinney. But, of course, you should be paying attention to Boise State. A minus 140 favorite to win the Mountain West with the Heisman Trophy favorite in Ashton Gentry. And what is the price to reach the college football playoff? Plus 125. The Broncos, the highest ranked Group of Five team at this moment in the country. A number to know. A Football Friday tomorrow starts at 8 a.m. Eastern here on TEL.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.